Hey everybody, I'm Mark Amadeo. I'm glad you're here for the next episode of the GovCon video blog. So today we're going to talk about flow down clauses. As we've mentioned in other vlogs, government contracts almost always contain a slew of standard clauses that come right out of FAR that contracting officers are required to insert into a government contract. These FAR clauses impose a number of different conditions on a prime contractor. Now, a flow down clause is a contract clause that's contained in a prime contract that a prime contractor flows down or makes part of a subcontract. So in federal government contracting, flow down clauses often are FAR clauses that are incorporated into a subcontract with the intent of subjecting a subcontractor to the same requirement or condition that a prime contractor has to meet under its prime contract with the government. Now in this edition of the GovCon video blog, we're going to discuss very briefly three things that contractors should know about flow down clauses. This may or may not be a review for more experienced prime contractors, but for newer contractors or subcontractors that are emerging into prime positions, this may be an area that's easily overlooked. In fact, in the near future, we plan to conduct a webinar to address flow downs more thoroughly, so look for that soon. One thing that contractors should know is that some flow downs are mandatory. In other words, often some of the FAR clauses that a contracting officer has included in a prime contract is required also to be inserted or incorporated into a subcontract. A prime contractor, therefore, should read carefully all of the FAR clauses that a contracting officer has included in the prime contract in order to determine if they have this kind of mandatory flow down language. Now, this review may be somewhat time-consuming, especially when a contracting officer has included a bunch of FAR clauses by reference rather than by inserting the full text of the FAR clause. Now, typically, contracting officers do this by including in the contract a list of FAR clause numbers for the clauses that are incorporated by reference. Regardless, prime contractors should, in those instances, still look up the FAR clauses to see if they include mandatory flow down language. At least in the case of subcontracts for commercial items, this job is made easier by the fact that the rules require prime contractors to flow down the same 14 clauses in every single contract for a commercial item. Now, one note of caution. Prime contractors may be tempted to insert general statements in their subcontracts in order to flow down these mandatory FAR clauses. For example, a general statement may say that the entire prime contract is incorporated by reference. Or a general statement may say that subcontractors are under the same obligations to meet the same requirements as prime contractors have to meet under the prime contract. But a number of courts have concluded that these general statements are insufficient to indicate that a particular FAR clause has or has not been flowed down to a contract. Another thing that prime contractors may be tempted to do is simply copy all the FAR clauses that are included in a prime contract and attach them to a subcontract with a statement attempting to indicate that the terms are to be construed to apply to the subcontract. This is not only not the best form, since some FAR clauses can't even possibly apply to subcontractors. But also, sophisticated subcontractors may view this as overreaching and will push back at having to assume some of the prime contractor's obligations under the prime contract. The second thing that contractors should know is that some clauses concerning a change in the contractual relationship between the prime contractor and the agency should be flowed down into subcontracts, even if, by their terms, flow down is not mandatory. For example, a contracting officer may include a clause stating that the prime contract may be terminated by the agency under certain conditions. The prime contractor should, in that instance, include a similar termination provision in its subcontract, allowing it to terminate the subcontract if the government terminates the prime contract. Another example is when a prime contract gives the government a right to change the prime contract. Again, the prime contractor should include a similar provision in its subcontract, allowing it to make a corresponding change to the subcontract. All of this is to say that a prime contractor needs to carefully examine its prime contract to determine which clauses can and should be reasonably passed down to minimize risks when the relationship with the government under the prime contract is altered in some way. The third thing that contractors should know is that not all flow downs are to be treated equally. Now, there's a delicate balance that prime contractors often try to strike. On the one hand, they have to put subcontractors on notice of prime contract clauses and requirements that are reasonably part of a subcontract. On the other hand, including the full text of every mandatory and optional flow down clause into a subcontract may result in an unnecessarily intimidating and unwieldy document. Consequently, there may be instances in which it may suffice to incorporate a clause by reference with some explanation or modification to make it clear how the clause is to be read or construed, while in other instances, including the full text of a flow-down clause may not only be advisable, it may also be required. Indeed, there's at least one federal court of appeals that has indicated that the full text of a clause should be included in a subcontract when the FAR clause itself states that the FAR clause or the substance of the FAR clause is required to be, and this is the key word, inserted into a subcontract. So prime contractors should put some thought into how they want to flow down the clauses into their subcontracts. So to sum up, three things that contractors should know about flow down clauses are: one, some flow downs are mandatory; two, some clauses concerning contract changes should be flowed down even if flow down is not mandatory; and three, not all flow down clauses have to be treated equally. Well, thanks everybody for joining me on this edition of the GovCon video blog, and look out for that webinar on flow downs that we plan to put out in the near future. And I hope you come back for future episodes of the GovCon video blog.